All right, we got time, and there are three time that I'm going to talk with you about. First is Roman time, and Roman time is from 12 midnight to 12 midnight is one day, two parts of a night, and this is what we do in our own. Now, next is the Jewish time schedule. Time schedule for the Jews from 6 p.m. or 6 evening to 6 p.m. 6 evening, one night, one day. So that's the way it's scheduled for the crucifixion, resurrection, and all with Christ. But it's 6 p.m. evening to 6 p.m. The Nisan is the Hebrew calendar corresponding to our calendar of March, April. Now, since the biblical record is in the Jewish time, the following week is located in for our study in Jewish time. So you've got to have that in your mind, roll that into your mind, the time schedule as to when the things are going to occur. We're going to start just looking. Not long time. One thing about that we have done this over the years is so many different ways. Tonight, this morning, is just putting it over for your understanding, for your remembering. We're going to start with Friday, the last week of Jesus Christ, Friday. Now, a week from today, he will be in the crucifixion, dead. But now we're going to move toward that area. So we're going to start with Friday, begins at 6 p.m. on Thursday. You got to bear that in mind. 6 p.m. Thursday to 6 p.m. Friday. Jesus Christ ate supper at Bethany about 4 p.m. Friday. And this will be a study of John 14, 1 through 9, Matthew 26, verse 6 and following, Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. So that's Friday, going in from Thursday to Friday. Now, that takes us to Saturday, 6 p.m. Friday, Jewish time, 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. This was the weekly Sabbath, obviously, Sabbath, Friday and Sabbath. So this is what happened when that day before. So this is the going to be Friday night, early Saturday and Saturday day of beginning of the crucifixion, or actually a Sabbath week. Now, preparation for the triumphal entry late Monday morning, and Luke chapter 19, verse 29 and following, triumphal entry late afternoon, John 19, 12 through 19. So that's Saturday, going from Friday to Saturday. Now, that takes you Saturday evening, around 6 p.m., around that, 6 p.m., to 6 p.m. Sunday. This is the week before the crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's go to Sunday, which is 6 p.m. Saturday. And there are a lot that would happen. First of all, cursing of the fig tree in the morning hours. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 and following. Cleansing of the temple in the late afternoon, Luke 19, 45 through 46, Matthew 21, 12 through 13, Mark 11, 15 through 17. Okay, this takes us now to Monday. But Monday, of course, for the event will begin at around 6 o'clock Sunday evening to 6 p.m. Monday. So this is what's going to happen the Monday before. Jesus Christ delivers the prophetic discourse in the morning. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. Over the 46 years I've been in the ministry, we've done every one of these in labored time, hours. I'm going to just put you into the process of things right now. We've studied the prophetic discourse. Now, secondly, teaching in the temple late morning. Late morning. This will be late Monday morning. Mark 11, verse 27. Then Jesus Christ delivers the Olivet Discourse in early afternoon, Matthew 24, 25, the Olivet Discourse. So that's taken us now, Monday, actually Sunday 6 p.m. to Monday 6 p.m. Now we go to Tuesday's schedule, but it begins at 6 p.m. Monday, goes to 6 p.m. Tuesday. Now, 6 p.m., they didn't have a watch. So it was at that time frame that in the evening when these things would take place. Okay, so this is 6 p.m., 6 evening evening, Tuesday. So this is going to be the day, Tuesday. Preparation for the Passover in late afternoon. Now, I'll talk about that in a moment. Preparation for the Passover in late afternoon. Now we come to Wednesday. Now, this will be the day we will have a study as the resurrection. This will begin Tuesday evening at 6 to Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Wednesday. And on this day, multitude of things will happen dealing with the resurrection or crucifixion of our Savior. This will begin Tuesday evening. Late Supper, the Last Supper, also called the Passover, around 6 p.m. Tuesday evening, high day, special Passover. Now, I've studied all of this, and we've dedicated it, and looked at the dates and times. But if you'll look at this, it says special Passover, special high day. That's John chapter 15, verse 31. John chapter 19, verse 31, talks about the high day. Now, that is a special day in their schedule. This is special. This is not their normal Friday and Saturday. This is in the middle of the week. This is a high day. And the high day is very important as far as the history of Israel is concerned. Now, secondly, Jesus Christ washes the feet of the disciples, John 13. Then Jesus Christ gives the new commandment. Now this is all going on just prior on Tuesday evening, prior to going in Wednesday morning. So this is what we're looking at going. And he offered here the teaching of the new commandment. The new commandment that we have studied in so many different ways, John 13, 34, and 35. Then Jesus Christ gives the upper room discourse, John 13 to 15, which we have well studied. Then Jesus introduces the first communion, Matthew 26, 26 and following. Now, let me just quickly add, some people say it isn't Wednesday, it's Thursday. And I can understand a Thursday. I can understand a Wednesday, Thursday. Friday is not going to work at all. Because when you have 3 days, three nights, there is no way you're going to have three nights if he's crucified Friday afternoon or Friday evening. So you can forget Friday. So, but you, Wednesday, Thursday, you can do it. Now, here's my main point. It doesn't really matter. Let's don't get into a fight with one another. Let's don't get upset with one another, even with the Friday. If someone believes that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that we can join together and get together with a cup of tea. So let's just let that happen and let it go. But I wanted to know you to know what the Bible teaches, the way I understand what's going on with the Bible, with the high day, with 3 days, 3 nights in crucifixion. So this is when you could put these things together. Now, three, Jesus Christ gives the new commandment. This is Tuesday evening, and he's with the disciples. Then four, Jesus Christ gives the upper room discourse, John 13:15. Now, during this time frame, you have Judas leaving, but we're not going to go through all of that in our discussion. Just put things together. So in the upper room discourse covers with Judas leaving and those things going on. Five, Jesus introduces the first communion. Matthew 26:26 and following, which we will cover in the second class this morning. Six, Judas leaves to betray Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver in this time frame. Seven, Jesus tells of the sending of the Holy Spirit. Judas is gone. This is John 14:16 and following, the coming of the Holy Spirit. He will be gone. The Holy Spirit will take its place on the earth for the church. Seven, Jesus tells of the sending of the Holy Spirit, John 14. 8, the Lord's Prayer, John 17. A powerful, wonderful study in the Word of God, the study of the Gospel of John 17, the Lord's Prayer. Now, 9, Jesus Christ moves to Gethsemane. Late Tuesday night, Matthew 26:36, John 18:1 and following. Now, let me just ask you any questions at this point. As we go through this, got any questions, ask me. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you and we'll go find it somewhere. But just so that you can get a flow of what's going on. So Jesus Christ moves to Gethsemane late Tuesday evening. So this is going to go on Tuesday night and then go into Wednesday morning. The crucifixion early Wednesday morning. He will be on the cross around 9 o'clock Tuesday morning, or Wednesday morning. Now, point 10. Jesus Christ is betrayed by a kiss from Judas, arrested and taken to his six trials. There are six trials of Jesus Christ, John 18:2 following. These six trials are before Annas, before Caiaphas, before the Sanhedrin. These are three all wrong. By that I mean illegal. There is no justification for those three. Now, with Pilate and John 18:25, Herod, Luke 22:12, 11:22-7, and then before Pilate again, John 19:14, these are all bona fide, timely trials of Jesus Christ. The others took place, but they're illegal as far as Jewish schedule is concerned. Now, Annas, Caiaphas, Sanhedrin, all related in the area of the temple area, and then Pilate comes out and does his talk with Jesus Christ. Now, Pilate is in authority. He's in great authority over Pilate. But he decides not to have anything to do with it because nothing fun happened. Jesus Christ didn't do any tricky trib or little rabbits coming out of the socket or anything. So Herod got upset and left, turned it over to Pilate. Pilate had to make up the final decision about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Many people fight about Pilate, they argue about Pilate. I pray he believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Can't prove it, but I pray that he was. Now, this takes us to Wednesday morning, time, early. 11. Jesus Christ is taken to be crucified at 9 a.m., somewhere around 9 in the morning, Wednesday morning, Matthew 27, John 19. Jesus Christ is taken from the cross at 3 p.m. Wednesday. From 3 p.m. Wednesday. So he went to the cross about 9 a.m. Wednesday, and then 3 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, he is taken off of the cross. 13. Jesus Christ is buried around 6 p.m., 6 in the evening. John 19, Luke 23, the resurrection fulfillment of Jesus Christ's words that in Matthew 12, 40, 3 days and 3 nights. So there's just no way we're going to be able to get away with 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus Christ rose from the grave sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday. So that's the schedule time. Now, let's look at these things. Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. to Thursday morning, 6 a.m. That's one night. Remember, I told you the Jewish time. Jewish time, one night, one day. So we've got to have that in mind. So here we got Wednesday evening around 6 p.m. to Thursday morning, 6 p.m. That's first night. 3 nights, 3 days. Thursday morning, 6 a.m. to Thursday evening, 6 p.m. first day. So one day, one night. Then we go to Friday morning, 6 a.m. to Friday evening, 6 p.m. That is second day. So we had Thursday, I think I missed it. Thursday evening, 6 p.m. to Friday morning, 6 a.m. That's day two. Night number two. Therefore, Friday morning, 6 a.m. to Friday evening, 6 p.m., second day. So we have 2 days, 2 nights. Now we go to Friday. Friday evening, 6 p.m. to Saturday evening, 6 a.m. That's the third night. 3 days, 3 nights. Saturday morning, 6 a.m. to Saturday evening, 6 p.m., third day. Jesus Christ rose from the grave sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday. Not prior to, that should be after 6 p.m. So we have 3 days, 3 nights. Any question about the time schedule? 3 days, 3 nights. Okay? The Roman Catholic Church started with the Friday thing, and it's been going on, but not in the Bible. Okay, that brings us now to the resurrection.
Herman, yes? I was just wondering, in the Jewish law, if he did something on Saturday, if he rose Saturday, wouldn't that be... I was just thinking about the Jewish law where you can't do anything on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
It was after 6.
It was after 6 when he rose up.
Okay.
Yeah, so he would be okay.
So it was on Sunday.
Okay?
Well,
good.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the resurrection. We're going to concentrate on the resurrection. A, we're going to look at the death of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ. And then we'll look at B and C and go through these things, but let's just look at the first thing, the resurrection study, the death of Jesus Christ. He was nailed to the cross around 9 in the morning, Wednesday morning, maybe Thursday, but Wednesday or Thursday. His crucifixion is made up of two different events. 9 a.m. to 12 noon is one event. 12 noon to 3 is the second major event. So let's look at 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Several things happened with Jesus Christ. He's on the cross. It's daylight. It's early Wednesday morning. 9 a.m. to 12 noon, Wednesday morning. He spoke during the period of light, meaning there was light over the area of the crucifixion. So, first, to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he spoke to John, who was at the bottom of the cross with John, with his mother, and Jesus Christ said to John, "Behold your mother." In other words, he took care of his mother. We've got to do that in life, take care of our parents. Three, to one of the two criminals, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Today, not tomorrow, today you shall be with me in paradise, not in heaven. Then we go to four, to his heavenly Father. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." All right, any question about the first three hours of the crucifixion? It's daylight. These are some of the things that are going on. Now, at noon, Wednesday, it starts becoming very dark. God the Father does not anyone to see his Son crucified, bearing the judgment for the sins of the world. Death's not a problem. The problem on the cross isn't the real problem. The problem is the sin problem, bearing the judgment of the sins of the cross. Therefore, the Father darkened the morning, the whole area around the cross, around the temple, the town, the city, and no one could see. So five, Jesus Christ spoke out to God the Father during the darkness while bearing the judgment for the sins of all mankind. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? After having completed bearing the judgment of the sin, he spoke out, "I am thirsty." So, in these 3 hours, he's borne judgment for all the sins of the world. He said, "I am thirsty." Seven, having rejected the thirst and having paid for the judgment, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Then of eight, and this is one that most people are not aware of, Jesus spoke out for the last time with his Father, "Thou hast ransomed me, O Lord God of truth." Psalm 31:5. "Thou hast ransomed me." He has taken him home at this time. So the soul of Jesus Christ, the spirit of Jesus Christ, went to heaven. His body remained in the grave.
Look at it. It's on
there.
Okay.
Few people are not aware of it. Most people are not going to talk about it. I know of no one that really says it didn't happen in Psalm 31:5. but very few people ever talk about it. So if you don't want that, then that's your prerogative. Okay, now we go to B. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and were terrified, then exclaimed, "Truly, he was the Son of God." Matthew 27:54. The soldiers came to break the legs of the three persons being crucified at this time. But coming to Jesus, they did not break his legs, but instead pierced Jesus Christ's side with a spear, causing a flow out of his blood and water out of his side. John 19:32-33. Now, this is a lot of study we've just read through. For an example, breaking of the legs. That was a custom at this time in the Jewish customs. And so that he would be dead, but they were to take him off. He had to be dead. So they would break his legs. Now, this didn't happen in every aspect of Romans' crucifixion. But to the Jews, this was very important, because they had to be dead so that they could be in the crucified or in the grave before darkness. So that is the breaking of the leg. But they came by, and Jesus Christ was already gone. He had already been taken out and met with his Father. So his body's just lying there. So they saw it, and what they decided, they did not need to break his legs. That's in the Bible. He would not have a broken leg like that. So that was not going to happen. So they just speared his side, and blood and water came out of the side. A lot went on here with that. For an example, he didn't bleed to death. We've already spent enough time on the study of the blood. And there's the example of it. He bled. He did not bleed to death on the cross. He had blood in him at this time. So this is what went on at this point. Now, D, the burial of Jesus. As evening approached, it was time to bury Jesus. A man named Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate and asked to take the body of Jesus Christ for burial. So he goes and asks. He's a Jewish scholar at this time, and he's in the Sanhedrin, and he goes in and asks Pilate if he can take Jesus Christ and bury him. So, he was given authority to take Jesus Christ's body. There's a lot that went on. Like, for an example, the study will talk about how the pilot, the soldier, went to Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ went to him, said, "Is he dead? Is he really dead? I've got to know that before I can give this man this permission." And he said he was dead. So you can study all of this in John 19:38-42. This is what happened at that time. And so he was on the grave, and Joseph of Arimathea, big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb, John 19:38-42. Why, what are some things we didn't study? A study of the tomb. This was a special tomb. It was new. It had not been used at all. Joseph of Arimathea had it dug and fixed up for his own self. And he took it, therefore, and put Jesus Christ's tomb in it. We don't know where this is, where it happened, We do not know. And if you ever go to Jerusalem, go out of Jerusalem, because this happened outside of Jerusalem, you will see the tomb. And there's some people who believe that was the tomb where Jesus Christ was laid. But whether it was or not, it gives you that picture of how everything took place at that time. Okay, any question? Okay, E. What is so interesting now is that all 11 of the disciples went away that evening. But the women who came with Jesus out of Galilee came to watch the place of the tomb and planned to return after the Sabbath. So this is where they are. They're on the side watching over all that's going on. Now, the resurrection. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, from the grave, sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday. 3 days, 3 nights. After 6 p.m. Saturday. Now, G, Saturday night. This is Saturday night into early Monday. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women who had been present at the burial came with spices they prepared and came to the tomb. So they've come to the tomb, just like a lot of people will go to a graveyard. They went to the graveyard, went to the tomb, and they entered the tomb. There it was open. That was, what's that mean? Why is that happening? So they walked in, and it was opened. Stone was opened, and they walked in, and it was empty. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They entered the tomb, but it was empty. He was not there. As they stood there, two men in form, came, or angels, came next to the women and said to the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" In other words, a tomb. Why are you looking for the living of Jesus Christ when he is among the living? So that's where he is. Now, he is not here. He has risen. So here's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first declaration. They went to the 11 disciples, told them of these things. What is important is that Peter is said by name to join the others and move toward Jesus. Now, I want to talk about this for a moment because this one's important to me. Not much time before Peter had denied Jesus and was broken in his heart. He walked away crying when he denied that this was Jesus. Broken in the heart. That night, that morning of the resurrection, sometime Saturday at 6 in the evening to the next day, Jesus Christ went to Peter. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. And he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. So he appeared to Peter alone and talked with Peter and restored Peter back into his relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he went with the 11. Peter and John ran to the tomb, continuing 1 Corinthians 15, the tomb, and went into the tomb. They saw Jesus was no longer in the tomb. So this is a lot of things that went on about Peter and John. They ran from the where they were all spending the night, and they ran there, and John ran faster than Peter, got to the tomb, but didn't go in. Peter just charged right on in. He came after John, but before John, he went into the temple, into the tomb. And he walked in, and he saw what was going on in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from there. John saw it. They had their conversation and all that went on, and they left that area. Okay, any questions? Now let's go to definition of terms. There are two returns from the dead. There are two terms from the dead of human beings. The first return of people from the dead is called resuscitation. Resuscitation is when a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption and will die eventually. So they will be in a body of corruption, means they're going to die. This is not a resurrection. Give an example. Lazarus did this. Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus is in the grave. Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come here outside. Now he had to say, has Lazarus, because if he said here outside, everybody in the grave would have come. And he only wanted one. So he said, Lazarus, here. And Lazarus got up, came out of the tomb, and he had been in the grave for several days. He came out wrapped in his grave clothes. They had to unwrap him. They didn't have to unwrap Jesus Christ. They had to unwrap him, and he was resuscitated. Resuscitated. He was alive. And subsequently will die again. The same thing is true of Paul. Paul in Lystra's was buried under a rock pile. He was stoned to death. And then later, he was brought back from the dead. According to 1 Corinthians 15, he was brought back from the dead after again. Second time. So we have people brought back from the dead under resuscitation. Give you some examples, other examples. Elijah resuscitated a young boy. Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha also resuscitated a young boy. They brought them back from the dead. They will die later. So resuscitation is the first of the two returns from the dead. Any question? Okay? The second return is resurrection, in which a person returns from the dead with a body incorruption. Therefore, never again subject to death. That's the second type of death. And so far, only one person in all human history has been resurrected, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one that has ever been resurrected. Therefore, resurrection is risen again from the dead to the human body, never again subject to death. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior waits for their own resurrection. That's us, you and I. We wait for our own resurrection. Our parents wait. Our relatives, people that have already dead, they're waiting for their own resurrection. I enjoy doing at the gravesite. I know it's a sad time, but I like to talk about it. This is a great period here. These people are going to, if they're believers, they're going to be raised from the dead right here. And this is a victorious time. And it's a victorious moment. So resurrection is therefore one of the basic doctrines which all believers must understand for spiritual growth. We will all come again with Jesus Christ, with one another. We'll all be together. Okay? Now, there are many different ways. People lie in the ocean. They're going to be resurrected. People resuscitate. People are being burned that way. They're going to come back. It's all going to happen. Different ways. How's God going to do that? Somebody in an ocean gets taken away with about 15 different fish. And then they're going to have the resurrection. How's God going to do that? I don't know. That's His problem. See? But He's going to do it. And they will be resurrected. And everyone that has died will be resurrected that is a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying aside a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washing and laying on of hands, and about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So this is that period. Now, I know it's a little early, but I'm going to stop now, and we'll start the next one a little bit and take a look at the resurrection as part of the gospel. Yes.
So I have a question. When Chris and I were doing some of the teaching with the kids,
yes,
Matthew 27:52, it talks about when Jesus cried out with a loud voice and gave up the Spirit, suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And then it says the tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And they came out of the tombs after His resurrection, entered the holy city, and appeared to many. I don't even know what to do with that.
Okay.
We never talked about it.
Literal.
It's the Jews who will be part. In a little bit, I'll talk about the resurrections in various schedules. And there is said that they had a resurrection type of thing. Wasn't a full resurrection because they didn't get the full body. Only Jesus Christ has the resurrection. But they will be brought from the dead and be brought back into a death, as it were, not in that body, to be raised up. That will happen later.
Okay, so that was that a resuscitation?
It was a resuscitation.
They appeared to people?
They appeared to people and came back, yes.
Okay.
It was a resuscitation of Jews at that time.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure
we just don't talk a lot about that.
And yeah,
no.
To the children.
No.
Guys, we need to find out more about this and get back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of an awesome thing that God did, because so many people saw that with the graves opening up.
Right.
So that even proved more that He was the Savior.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I have one just comment about. The breaking of the knees, because that was, as you said, the tradition, the Jewish tradition that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And the one reason they broke their knees is because they're on the cross, and before their knees were broken, they could go up and take a breath of air.
Nice.
And then they would come down. But once their knees were broken, they could not get that breath of air, so they died.
Their mm-hmm. chest would go down, yeah. So that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you ought to kind of understand a little bit of the how they came up.
Yeah.
Such a mean.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Maybe we'll go back over that sometime and look at it in detail, what happened. Okay, let's close, and we'll begin in a little few minutes and close our study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so exciting to watch the resurrection events of our Savior. All the things that happened at this time. How marvelous it is we can know that right now, He is at your right hand, resurrected, the body. And that we will have a body just like His. We will be with Him forever in our resurrected body. The world doesn't understand this. To them, it is crazy. To us, Heavenly Father, it is such a marvelous, marvelous event to occur. Praise you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God to give us this information, give us these things. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.